All right, it's time now to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle, brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truitt and White, the professional builder's choice, and of course, I always say it, the new showroom down in Monterey, and Mark Pearsall and the guys, I can't thank them enough for doing this segment. Of course, Bruce, I can't thank you enough on a Sunday morning for joining us.
How's it going, Marty?
Well, it's going well, and you know, Bruce, I watched this Cardinal-Giants series, and I think of all the series I've watched this year, and maybe the Dodgers, you know, had the emotion and still had good players on each side. And this Cardinal team is very good, and every time they come up, they can do damage at the plate. They're not hitting the ball out of the park, but, man, it's tough to get them out.
Yeah, that seems like it's been that way since I've been watching them in the 60s. I mean, they always seem to be – you know, at least very good. They're always dangerous, but the interesting aspect now is that they've brought up Tavares. This happens to be with the Giants in town. He gets a start. He homers, right off the bat. And I tell you, it's really going to be interesting. I mean, I hope is he in there against Hudson today?
Yeah. I'll give you the lineup very quickly for the Cardinals. No Molina, though, by the way, who's been in a slump. Huh? Carpenter, Wong, Holiday, Craig, Tavares, Peralta. Johnny Peralta is a good player, boy. He had great double yesterday. John Jay is 2-for-6 off Hudson. Tony Cruz and then Lance Lynn.
Yeah, they're probably going to have to figure out a way to get Tavares into that lineup. And it gets a little complicated. You got Holiday and Jay and Craig, and by Borges has pretty much played himself out of the picture. But if the kid keeps hitting, it's going to be impossible to keep him out of there. He's been a center fielder most of his career. I don't think they regard him as a tremendously great defensive center fielder, but the bottom line is you got to find a place for him, and it'll be interesting against Hudson. We'll see how he handles a low and away, sort of sinking fastball, and maybe go the other way with it.
You know, it's funny because that's what Duane said yesterday. Duane said, well, the kid hasn't seen a changeup low and away yet.
Yeah.
And Krukow said, well, he's got to prove he can hit the inside fastball. So, all right, we know he can hit the hanging curveball.
I would imagine that he can hit the inside fastball. I'd be shocked if he can't. But if he can go the other way with something moving away from him and hit it up the gap in left center, that'd be even more impressive.
He looked a little bit like Carlos Gonzalez, except he looked better. He looked like he had better. I don't know, for some reason, he looked like a better hitter.
He looks good before he even takes a swing.
Yeah,
he's
right.
One of those guys, you see him walking up there. It's like, oh God,
And the great baseball tradition yesterday. It's great. I love it. He hits the home run. And everyone lines up in the dugout. It's like, it's like they're on the foul line before the All-Star game. And they've all lined up for him. And, this has to be choreographed to some degree. And it was wonderful. I mean, really, I love that part of baseball.
Well, the whole scene was very dramatic. I mean, gathering storm and it's starting to rain. And then not long after he hit it, the skies opened up. I mean, it was all very...
Robert Redford.
Yeah, I think Redford was lurking somewhere down the right field line.
Really? Oh, it's great. Hey, it is a good matchup, Hudson and Lynn. And, Hudson said something very interesting, Bruce, and that is, I'm doing great, but you better not expect this all year long. He is going to be 39 in July. And as I said, out of the gate, what he has shown this ball club of just how to pitch and how to win, and Morse on the offensive side, just the jovial way he approaches the game. These two guys are special, but especially Hudson.
Yeah, and he's very self-effacing and humble. He's never one to boast or make a big spectacle of himself. And I think Bochy and Rigetti and Sabian are expecting him to be not just unhittable every time out or 7 two-hit innings or anything, but they're expecting him to be this kind of guy all the way through. And there's no reason why. He's extremely youthful in body and mind. A couple body parts are barking a little bit, but he's managed to overcome that and. I think as long as he's going out there, they're going to expect good outings from him.
Yeah, every pitch has a purpose. And, I remember Derek Lowe with the sinker. I mean, Jason Marquis, every pitch these guys tried to throw was at the knees or lower. And Hudson reminds me of that. Every pitch he tries to throw is down there. Doesn't always get it, but that's his plan.
What a gift.
Yeah.
To basically keep everything down around the knees, basically never really put one up there in somebody's wheelhouse. I mean, that is a gift, but I mean, it's more than that. It's release point. It's doing it over and over again. And, the focus and the concentration and everything else, he's got all of those things. He's a pretty wicked competitor, And that's been a big key to his success over the years.
Posey is in the lineup today, and he's been out 3 days, Tuesdays, back irritation, nerve irritation. They're not really clear. At least they haven't told us really what it is. But the bottom line is 3-for-34, 5-for-45. He is in the lineup today. They need him. You can't keep putting Sanchez in there. He's basically a punching bag.
Yeah.
You just can't do it. I mean, I feel bad for the guy. But they need Posey today, Bruce, and this is going to be interesting to see how he looks at the plate, at least how he stands at the plate and what he does today.
Yeah, some of the little body movements that we've seen from him recently haven't looked quite right. It's not like he's limping up there or lurching into pitches, but he's taken some funny swings. He's missed some pitches that he would normally drill. Hasn't had the good, you know, up the middle off field hitting that makes him such a good hitter. And I'm sure he was feeling way worse than he let on. He's one of those guys who would never tell you, you know, that something's bothering him. Especially if the fans can't necessarily, you know, see it, he's not going to say, "Now, what you don't know is it's killing me down here." You know, and if it is a back and nerve kind of situation, those things, who knows how long they stick around. I sincerely hope for his sake that they're gone and he can get in there and feel comfortable, because, you know, if he does, you'll see him getting back. You'll see him getting a couple hits in the big RBI, because that's just who he is.
Yeah, no, there's a 320 hitter. He's an MVP, and that is, he's got this sweet swing. But, you know, when you're physically not right, you have numbers like he's put up. So we'll have to see what he looks like today. I had Brett Butler on this morning, and I must say I enjoyed the interview with him and explaining, as Pat Hughes just said, no one could lay down a bunt better than Brett Butler, even if everyone in the park knew it. It's like the stolen base guy. I always remember that about Wills. Everyone in the park knew he was going, and he still stole a bag. And Willie Mays could be the same way. But, Bruce, Brett Butler, your recollections of him, he only had 3 years here, outstanding years, part of the 89 team. And, Bruce, I looked up his stats this morning, and I don't know what sort of Hall of Fame consideration he ever got, but if you want to talk about one of the all-time goods, that's this guy.
Yeah. In the Hall of Very Good. I mean, he stole bases. He hit for average. He was a better-than-average defensive player. He was a perfect leadoff guy. Like you say, leadoff bunt single. Now he's going to steal second. I think what may have hurt him a little bit in terms of reputation was that he was right smack in the middle of Ricky Henderson's prime right across the bay. Mm. And Ricky's probably the greatest leadoff man ever. I mean, you know, this is a guy who could hit 300, leadoff with a bomb into the upper deck. God knows what he would do. I mean, I think he's generally recognized as the greatest leadoff hitter of all time. And, you know, in the 1989 World Series, it really came to a head. You know, Ricky did some great things. Butler, like really most of the Giants in that series, never really showed up. It was the strangest dynamic we've ever seen in a World Series, maybe. But that's, I think that just because Ricky was right across the bay, there was a standard there that was very hard to match. But, you know, meanwhile, Butler, his whole career, he should be so proud of his career as he looks back on it, because one of the better players.
Yeah, close to 2,400 hits.
Yeah.
290 batting average, 558 stolen bases, and he played until 40 years old. And, again, I have to look it up and see. He probably got 7 Hall of Fame votes, you know, because
you're right.
In Molitor and Ricky Henderson were the guys at that period of time. But the other thing I remember about him, he had the largest glove I'd ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I did hear that segment about leaving the gloves on the field. Well, you leave that one out there, it's going to be a magnet.
Lucille is what he called
it. Yeah, he had a name for it and everything.
How about that? No, I really enjoyed having him on this morning. It was a lot of fun. Looking at the next series for this ball club, they go from here. And I don't think it's a frying pan into the fire, because the Reds really are struggling offensively right now, even though they got a great game last night from Cueto. The Giants should miss Cueto unless something crazy happens. But they end up looking at Homer Bailey, who no-hit him, Mike Leake, who's always giving him trouble, and this Tony Cingrani, the lefty. And I saw him pitch. You weren't out there that day at Goodyear. They just crushed him down in Goodyear, of course, in spring training. But, you know, the Reds, the Monsters, they've got some trouble. Brandon Phillips, people just don't like this guy. And I think he's a great second baseman. Maybe he's just too flashy. But maybe some of your thoughts, Aroldis Chapman, Giants going into Cincinnati.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of good matchups. I mean, Lincecum and Homer Bailey, you got the two no-hit guys there.
Mm.
and Lipscomb coming off that, you know, five-inning no-hitter. Bailey no-hit the Giants last year, but you know me and how I like good hitting pitchers. That Bumgarner and Leake matchup. Have you seen Leake swing?
This yes, guy, he's like a 300 really hitter, isn't he?
Yeah, he just looked. Yeah, he looks like an outfielder. And we all know Bumgarner can jack the ball. That's going to be really interesting. But you know, they'll probably what we saw from Rosenthal yesterday, the way he struck out the heart of the order. That we're going to see that if the Reds get a lead, we're going to see Chapman, you know, facing Morris and Sandoval and Pence, and that'll be sensational. I mean, there's a lot of interesting aspects. You know, Brian Price trying to get that club back together, and Dusty Baker is probably saying, you know, it's not that easy, is it? You know, he took so much heat back there. Dusty always seemed to take way more heat than he should have, for my money. But it's a talented team that's struggling a little bit. You hope they don't turn it around while the Giants are in town. But I think that's a good looking series for the Giants.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll hit some bombs in that park. That's another very especially homer friendly park.
Yeah, and if Posey's okay, and the one and there's no Latos here, you realize that, you know,
yeah.
he's been out. But I mean, when I think of that ballpark, I think of one home run, maybe Pagan's home run as well.
Buster's home run.
Yeah, that's the one I think of, right over Latos's name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was all the things associated with that series. You know what Hunter Pence did in the clubhouse, and you know the Romo Jay Bruce at bat, and.
Mm.
And just, God, just priceless memories. That was one of the greatest three-day episodes in the history of the Giants.
Well, how about Pence with the speech and the
yeah, that's what I mean.
The sunflower seeds. And
that's when Pence became Hunter Pence.
The Reverend.
Yes, that's when everybody realized exactly what kind of person we're dealing with here.
Yeah, I don't know if we mentioned it yesterday, but he's contagious on this ball club. I tell you. I said this last September, and I took a lot of heat from it. I said, you know something? I think he is the guy that makes this ball club go. I think it's kind of his team. And everyone says, you know, all the Posey people came out and, you know, started saying, wait a minute, Posey, Posey, Posey. I tell you, Bruce, I look at the spirit of this team, and I'm telling you, they remind me of Pence.
Yeah, I think he absolutely symbolizes it. And I just can't imagine that he wouldn't be a Giant for life. You know, he loves it here. But, yeah, you're right. It's contagious. I mean, you know, people were saying, what the heck? Somebody stole a scooter. You know, whatever. But, I mean, Pence is a guy, you really feel bad for him. He's so genuine. He's got such great faith in human nature, and it just radiates off him. And I really did feel terrible for him. I mean, to think that somebody would do that, and he's such a great, genuine guy. And and he'll play 162.
He'll play 165. I don't care how many it is.
162 plus 21. You know?
Doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. He doesn't want to come out. I don't know if you saw the newspaper, the Chronicle, this morning. Have you seen it this morning, the sports section?
I haven't opened it yet.
Take a look. You know, they always do the cartoon on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And it's hysterical. It really is. So they've got Pence's scooter being stolen by the Symbionese Liberation Army. They've got the symbol behind, and the scooter's brainwashed and all this kind of stuff. And very funny.
What's up with that? That's a funny concept.
Very funny. All right, what's your day like today on this foggy Sunday up here, June 1st?
Yeah, well, I I'm a bit of a couch potato. I'm going to shake it up today. I'm going to run a couple of marathons. You know,
good for you.
People can run one. I'm going to run a couple, and maybe kind of a breezy swim out to Alcatraz later in the day.
Now, that's the kind of day I like. And when you wake up, call me.
Exactly. They'll be carrying me in prone position out of here.
All right. Well, I love talking with you. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you next week when the Mets are in town.
Sounds good, Marty.
All right. That is Bruce Jenkins. More coming up in the Sports Leader.